See, Shelly saved me once today.
You did already.
I owe him a half an hour of my time now. Oh, he was able to figure out the locked. Okay. Okay, Baruch Hashem. It's a skill to be able to Google quickly. That was the skill.
What was the problem?
We'll talk about it later. Okay, Perek Ayin Aleph, chapter 71. Kfiyas HaDerech L'Olchachas Metzias Hashem. Establishing a pathway to prove the existence of Hashem. Achduso, his unity. V'i Agashmuso, and his lack of corporeality. How do you prove all that? So Aleph, first of all, is saying, Ovdan hamadoim me'emunusenu v'sibas ovdanam. The loss of our scientific knowledge from our nation and the reason for its loss. So we're going to first read a clause and then a lot of footnotes here, but they're all very valuable footnotes. So the fancy Hebrew word here is called text.
Oh.
Tough kufsa. Not tekaset or whatever, text. Text kasuv, a written text, whose sibul machlokes is a reason for machlokes. Okay? L'chein, therefore, rov ruba shel Torah, therefore the great majority of Torah, nishar bal peh, remains oral, v'rak ma'at ma'od nichtav, only a little bit is written. Okay? Text kasuv motzui bidei kol odom, a written text is found in everybody's hands. Vechol echad, and I'm going to flip the page up back to the next side to go to page 317. Okay, there's a text written in everybody's hands. Vechol echad mefarsho kirtzono. Then everybody explains it the way they want to. A written text is open to multiple misinterpretations. Text bal peh motzui rak bidei yechidim. An oral text is only in the hands of a few. Ledugma, for example, HaTorah shebal peh hoisa biikar bidei bizden hagodol. The oral law was mainly in the Jewish Supreme Court. V'gam madai hateva umadai elokus, and also scientific knowledge, and what are you going to call it? Metaphysical scientific knowledge. Hayu bal peh biyad bidei am Yisrael was orally in the hands of the Jewish people. Fehem hayu rak biyadei yechidei skula, but only in the hands of special individuals. Ze gorem lo avdonam, and that caused its great loss. Nostru mehem, what was left only in the oral law was rak ramozim, only hints, betalmud ubemidrashim, in the Talmud and the Midrashim. And they don't have the next thing. And they were all I'll just read outside for you. And they were just written in allegory form. Okay? These crazy midrashim that we had no idea what they were talking about. And therefore, when people look at it, they said, oh, is that really what the Talmud means? Sounds crazy to me. And they don't understand that this is just a klipa of what really was in over there. Okay. That's the first point the Rambam discusses before he's going to get to the Mutalkin. Now we got ample footnotes to keep us busy for a while. Let's go back. Okay, footnote number one was basically going to talk about the oral law. So text kasuv hu sibul machlokes. A written text is a reason for machlokes. Text kasuv nitin tomid leparshon yoshanos. A written text is always open to different explanations. Zet novea, where does that come from? Min hamigbalaha basisi sheyesh la'adam behispat oso. There is a natural, limitations, fundamental limitations to how a person expresses himself. Hayirida min machshav ladibur. There is a descent from what's in your mind till it gets into your mouth. And melava be'ovdan diuk, and it accompanies a very great loss. In other words, what's in your mind, till you express it, very little of what's in your mind is getting out. You're losing a lot in the translation. And certainly, hadibur meitzag rak be'ofen mekurv ha'shrachva, speech only approximate what you're thinking. And keshekosim es hadibur. Now when you write what you said, avdu hameida hu odioser gadol. The information is lost even more. Why? Chaseres ha-intonatios shel ha-kol. You're missing the intonation of voice. Tenuas ha-guf, the body movements. Vabos ha-ponim, and the facial expression. Shishlimos hisbatos, that finishes up that expression. Ve'ini ha-filo ha-noshim she-shoving us. Even people will hear what you say. Asuyim li-hi-cholik, but we'll have different opinions. Kavachomer, all the more so. Shetibo machlokas bein anoshim shekorin also text like Abi Rishvoso. What about people trying to understand what the text said? What's a classic example of this? Classic example of this. The Constitution.
No.
Constitution? There's the fundamental machlokas between conservatives and liberals. The conservatives say, what does the text say? What did the founders mean when they said what they said? They're called strict constitutionalists. What did they say? Let's look at some of the papers that they wrote earlier. So it'll help us understand what they meant, what they said. That's the conservative movement. The liberals say, well, we got to figure out what would they have been thinking now. When they wrote what they wrote 250 years ago, when there was not technology, and there wasn't the sophistication of mankind. People had slaves and this and that. And society values have changed. If George Washington was alive today, what would he say? Mm-hmm. The others say, no. What did George Washington mean when he made the country? Right? That's a big machlokes. And no reason to say either one is correct if you're dealing honestly. Used to be liberals were honest. Okay, but now, but that is the big machlokas, and that's court interpretation, right? And that everything they know is only from a text, as opposed to being Torah Shebaal Peh. Now, obviously, when you're talking to somebody, first of all, when I'm talking to somebody, even though I'm not getting everything through, but when I say something, and I got in my mind what I really want to say, and I'm trying to say it, but I'm doing a terrible job, then you look at me with a furrowed brow, and you say, listen, you may know what you're saying, but I'm not hearing something that makes sense. And then it's going to be questions. And from the question, I see that I didn't tell you everything that I really wanted to say to you because I didn't express it right. I'll go back and forth until we grind it out and we're able to come out with something, right? But when you're looking at a text, well, what does that mean? That's why email, besides for technical things, how many things do you want to pick up from the bakery? Okay, email's great. But if you want to start discussing your opinion about something, dumbest way to do it is with email. Okay, because you just, as much as you think you're writing what's on your mind,
you're not.
Forget about typos. But it just can't come across. Right?
But on the other hand, like we always say, you know, when you're dealing in business, that you're in a star, you need a star.
That's for technical things. No, but that's for that's technical things.
It's derisive. We have no choice. It's derisive.
What do you mean? You have no choice. It's derisive. I'm not sure what you're saying.
Well, we hold it to a higher standard.
Which is?
We say it's derisive. What do we say?
What's derisive?
Halacha. Pick a halacha. This is in the Torah. Shatness, okay? I mean, there can be all sorts of opinions, but we just do it. It says it in the Torah. Now, if it didn't say it in the Torah, people would have a different standard.
Yeah, but then what about the 39 malachas?
Why do we have the term derisa then? Because that implies...
Well, we're going to get to that. What's the purpose of the derisa?
More stricter, more important. It's written. God wrote it.
But... Even though he wrote it, but the application of the... No, Shelley, but that... I understand what you're saying.
I'm not saying it's one or the other.
Is Shechita, Shelley, is Shechita Doraisa?
No.
What? Shechita.
How you do it isn't.
No. Whoa! Is Shechita Doraisa?
Yes.
And how you do it is also Doraisa.
It has to be. It's
Doraisa. Okay. But where do we know that from? Torah Shebaal Peh.
Okay.
Torah Shebaal Peh does not mean it's not the Raisa.
Right. Okay. I know it's not.
39 malachas. 39 malachas is the Raisa. It's not written in the Torah.
Nope.
It's not written in the Torah. The point we're just saying is, and we'll see, he's going to get later, says, so why did we write the Torah at all? Mm-hmm. Okay. We're gonna get to that. But it was clear that the written law was never meant to be the final understanding of what God's will is.
I'm just saying that it's, I think we hold it to a higher standard than...
No, only a mitzvah is that's the raisa, not something written in the text. The text alone, it's not enough. Again, Shabbos, you know how much daraisa in Shabbos is not written in the Torah?
Most.
Yeah. And just because it's verbalized, it doesn't mean it's the Rabbana. Mm. I think it's where you're getting stuck on. You think that whatever is not written in the Torah is not daraisa.
No.
39 prohibitives is not written in the Torah, and they're all daraisa.
No, I get that.
So now, but it was, how are we going to know? You can't squeeze. It was told over. It was told over. God, Bedavka, did not want to write so much. Because whatever you write can be misinterpreted. Mm-hmm. You want to keep it as little as possible, knowing that what you've written really is not saying very much at all. That's the real point of it all. There's really, if you have the Torah alone, you would not have, know how to be a practicing Jew at all. At all.
The Karaites.
So now you're mixing up what's written in the Torah versus Doraisa. Okay. Torah Sheba Al Peh, a lot of it is very Doraisa.
It's
explaining what is the biblical way of doing all the mitzvahs.
But even when you read the Mishnah, you got this rabbi says this, this rabbi says this.
That's the problem. That's the problem when you write it
some
down.
Some people follow this.
That's when they had to write down the oral Torah.
That's what caused the problems. But they didn't write it down for years. And it was oral law. They had no problems.
Thousands of years. I think it was over 1,000.
Let's read on. A lot of this will get clarified. Okay? Did we finish the first paragraph?
Let's see.
Yes.
A half hour.
Yes. Okay. Second paragraph. Ella etzlenu hachoshvim lebaseis haskama chevrotit al textim ksuvim kigon cholka chukim amunos nahalim ksuvim hispiklis aseh. But those who think that when we put something in a text, no matter what it is, laws, faith, conduct, or things like that, it's going to disappoint you. Hacholka kosug rak mafalik es am Yisrael. Written things only divide the Jewish people. Amim hamenuholim adei chukim heim amim flogim. Countries that go by laws that are written law down are splintered. Meidach, on the other hand, amim shechayim yisam al pi muskamos chavratiyos bal peh. But countries that conduct themselves with verbally agreed things that everyone has thrashed out together and discussed, Shemeolam lo kiblu shum gushpanka chukis, and never got any lawful stamp of approval, matzigin chazis achida bifneilam, has usually much more unified conditions in the world. In other words, it's something we come to agreements on in discussion, and we conclude with the agreements, that's something less likely to be splintered than just writing something down, and people start figuring out what you meant when you wrote it.
So would that be more like British common law?
Tell me what British common law is. I'm ignorant.
They just base the law. They don't have a constitution. They just base their law based on precedents in the past. So what courts have discussed and decided and judges
have ruled on. But I guess if people have discussed it and agreed upon it.
Well, obviously they have some kind of agreement. Yeah. Otherwise they pass judgments. Yes. And they use those to make their next judgments.
Exactly. So now I've underlined the next line. Matoras haTorah shebal peh, the goal of the verbal Torah, he lahavtiach es achdus Am Yisrael, is to guarantee the unity of the Jewish people. And that happened at Sosman Bayesheni until nearly the end of the Second Temple era, Beisil Beishamai, lo nechlu chachamim beperusha shel haTorah shebal peh. No one argued about the Torah shebal peh. There were no until Beisel Beishamai. No arguments.
Wait a second. We have
what? Kol amachloikes.
This is until the end of the Second Temple.
Okay, but we had the whole destruction. Sinishin.
Well, no, they weren't arguing about the laws. We were just violating them.
There's two things, Shelley.
You can agree what the law is, and then you sin. That's a different thing. Yeah. They knew what the law was. They just weren't keeping it.
Right.
That's two separate things.
We were united? Everybody's hating each other?
No, no. They were united in understanding what the Torah said. Now we can choose to not want to do it. That's a whole different story. But, you know, you could say, this is what it is. I just don't want to do it. That's all. That's a different thing. You know, people get...
In a way, that's a lot like a lot of secular Jews in Israel. They go, I know that's the halakha. I know that's what we should be doing. I just... It's not me.
Okay, but they're not going to say it's a different law.
No, that's my point. I know I shouldn't do this at Shabbos, but you know what? I'm just not into that, so okay. I'll go to the beach and talk.
And therefore, you really, for all intents and purposes, never had a reform movement in Eretz Yisrael in any serious way.
That's what I mean. Exactly.
They would never suggest the law is different.
Exactly.
So to speak. Exactly. Till they came to the end of the second base of Mikdash, everything was oral. Only machlokesim again with Beishol Beishamai. Hatzidukim, now the tzidukim nechloku imchak meisrael beemtza bayisheni. Tzidukim argued with the rabbis in the middle of the second temple. Al pirish hatorshev about the translation, the explanation of the written law. Why? Biglal shelo rotzu lekabel hatorshev. They didn't want to accept the oral law. In kein nechlokim yoser al a text. Therefore, they argued more on the text than on the oral law. A great example. If they really, what if they argued more on the text? Right, for example, count 7 weeks, mimacharos
ha-Shabbos.
Right. From Shabbat.
Well, what's the text say?
We're after Shabbos.
So the day after Shabbos.
Sunday we start.
No, but it means Shabbos, means Pesach, means Yom. Well, that's not what the text says.
That's what it
says. Okay, now.
That's a good point. That's not what
the text says. Yeah, that's a good point. Now, let me ask you another question. Did Tzidukim wear tefillin?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. What kind of tefillin? The same like the Haredim wore.
Yeah. How would they know?
How was that? That was the oral law.
I know. How was the oral law?
So they agreed to the oral law.
Yeah. They weren't consistent. Let's just say they weren't
convenient. They had no choice.
No, you couldn't argue. Why couldn't you argue? Because it wasn't written down. Everybody was wearing them. And everyone's wearing tefillin that had thousands of halachas. What do you mean? These are tefillin. We've all come to an agreement. And all those details were all oral. They're not going to argue about that. But now you got a line in there. Lo savaru eish b'chol nosh v'seichem. Don't light a fire wherever you're on Shabbos. Oh, can't have any fire on Shabbos. That's what the text says. See, if you notice, it's not that they didn't believe in the oral law. It cannot be they didn't believe in the oral law. You know how much oral law they kept?
What?
But when it came to deciding what the text says, well, I'm going to... And that's the dafka. You figure... How can you argue with what it says in the text? And that's where the whole arguments were. Okay? But the oral law really didn't argue on the oral law per se, because they all had tefillin, they all had talis, they all had these different things, they all didn't need chametz on Pesach, they all understood exactly what chametz was. So what are they arguing on? They're arguing on the text. Okay? So that's where you see, that's where you get a lot of arguments. Now,
what did they say for eye for an eye?
I'm sorry?
Eye for an eye.
Again, they
follow
the
same thing. Yes. 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 That's what the text says.
And for the hand. Yeah.
Right? Right. If the text doesn't say anything, now I got to rely on tradition. And that's accepted by everybody.
Tradition.
You follow? So that's exactly what it means. So now at the bottom. So why did Machlokas begin at the end of the Second Temple era? Mm-hmm. Then came all the suffering and all the confusion. Mm-hmm. Students were not able to learn from their rebbes in a straightforward manner. Next page. So now, we come to that Gemara. Remember we said yesterday, you're not allowed to write down the oral law. We can skip the first paragraph because I showed it to you yesterday. So that whole Gemara that said from the two psukim, you're not allowed to write down the oral law. Second paragraph. The prohibition of writing the oral law, it was very important. The covenant between Hashem and the Jews depended on this prohibition. God made a covenant with us based on the oral law. But still in all, yeah. So why did Rabbeinu Kodesh write the Torah Shel Baal Peh? He was weighing one evil versus the other. We could forget that the Torah Baal Peh, because it's so much crises, how can you remember it? Satsheni, pigia bebrisa b'shem v'tiksiva. It blemishes the covenant by writing it down. He decided, it's a time to act for Hashem. We have no choice. The lesser of two evils. But it never was a lechachil. Now he's going to give us five reasons why we should not be writing the Torah Shebaal Peh. Those are the five bullet points. Bullet point number one. The Marsha writes, Sha'ashalil the Torah Shebaal Peh. Why? They shall yismach adam aseh. We should never rely on a book. If you don't have a book to go back to, you got to review it and review it and review it till it's seared in your mind. So don't forget it. The prohibition of writing it down will strengthen our learning. A lot of times you learn something. You say, and if I forget, I'll just go look it up. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Wasn't that the whole story with Cortez when he came to conquer Mexico? Remember they burnt the ships when they landed? They said, guys, we ain't going back. We fight to the death.
And that's why that now more, you know, I don't know if you'll agree with this statement or not. The more books have been written, the dumber our memories are.
That's it.
It's a book for everything. So you say, you know what? If I forget, I'll just look it up.
It's very efficient. You don't have to remember it. You have to know where to. When I was
where
working,
to find it.
But that's
you
not.
Have to know where to find
you don't have to.
But that's not. Know. That's not the way God wanted us through the Torah. Yeah, because I'll tell you what. What if you're in the middle? What if you're not in your house? And you don't have a cell phone that has all the shots downloaded and everything. You have to be able to. It's got to be in you.
Not like Kanievsky, he could just he described it
okay.
Through with shots.
It's got to be in you, not in the books.
How many doctors know where to find the information as opposed to just know off the top of their head?
But if you're in the emergency department and you're doing a resuscitation, you got to know doses. You can't be looking it up right now. You got to know certain things. You got to know.
As a Jew, you're a doctor at all times.
Certain things you got to know. Rather, you can't look up.
So
you
say, Jew,
you
got to know.
Right now,
you got to know.
Oh, let's go look it up.
Fair enough.
Okay, you know, you left the light on in the refrigerator. You got to guess. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
And you're at a hotel, not at your house, and not with any books, and it's Shabbos. What are you going to do?
And there's no rabbi there.
Right? Somebody's sick Friday night. Yeah. How do you go to the hospital? That is part of learning. Means it's you got to own it, and it can't be in the bookcase. That's number one. Number two, from Rav Moshe Mekutzi, the Smag, in his introduction to Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, he says, "Min haShemayim lo nichtav haTorah shebaal peh. It was heavenly ordained not to write Torah law, at shenotzro dasos hanotzros, until came to Christianity and Islam. Why?" B'nei dosas el, these religions, hishtaltu ala Torah. They took, they ruled over our Torah Shebiksav. Remember, Talmai Philadelphus forced us to write down the written law. V'tanu, now they said, kihem chasson, but now we're the children of God because we have their book. What makes them so special? There are people in the book. Good, we took their book and we translated it. Achabonish Baruch, l'shomalem haftoh b'dmusa tzorishah, but what did Hashem do? He guarded the main point in the oral law. Rak elishavoi matoshal peh yugalahatzik sumone ontotios. Those are ones who have the authentic Torah, which are the Jews. What's the Torah worth without an oral law?
Nothing.
It's a rough cold notes. It's not the real story. So that way we'd never lose the Torah to somebody else.
We should be reading the oral law every Shabbos instead of laying in the Torah.
What's that?
We should be reading the Mishnayos or something every Shabbos instead of laying. Why don't we seem to put more emphasis on the actual written.
Well, first of all, it's the Word of God, and that's something we all can agree to, right? Mm-hmm. And it is the Word of God. And really, we have to then, after you finish laying, laying's a whole different story. Laying is trying to reproduce the act of the revelation of the Torah at Sinai.
I see.
That's the real goal. So you do that by reading the Torah. Then, the rest of Shabbos, you're learning Mishnayos. You're right. You do learn Mishnayos. You learn everything. You're supposed to learn the whole Shabbos.
You gotta agree that what gets a higher billing. Where most people focused on is the laning. Who's the laning? Oh, well, yeah, and a big chunk of the
so
morning.
So guess what?
Well, that's where you have a gathering, though. That's
okay, that's the unifier. No, we have to have something to unify around.
Did
No, so the Torah alone, the Torah alone, and then we know, okay, we all agree this is what God told us. There's no machlokes about that. Now, how do we understand it? Let's spend the rest of Shabbos learning Mishnayos. That's the whole point. If you just spend the whole Shabbos and your extent of learning Torah is just hearing the Torah reading, you have failed the Shabbos test. You know what I'm saying? Okay, you got one nice part, but that's not the main thing. The main thing is to learn Mishnayos. You're right. It's time for the chevra to get together and discuss the oral law and find all the things where there's agreement over there. Okay? So therefore, right at the end of that bullet point, so the Torah or oral law was not written for the other religions. So therefore they don't recognize it. Therefore, there's no such thing as a Muslim or a Christian saying, we have the Jews' Torah, we know everything about Yiddishkeit. You know nothing about Yiddishkeit.
But what did they do? As a matter of fact, what did they do in France? At the Louvre, they burnt all the Talmuds.
Exactly.
Remember they burnt how many wagon loads of Talmud, handwritten Talmuds?
Right. Now, the Smag gives another reason, and he says like this, I'll say it outside. He says, since the Torah is so big and so enormous, you could never write the whole thing. So Hashem writes the main points, bullet points, to help you remember the infinite amount of Torah that exists.
That's it.
Anyways, I got this, Shabbos? Now, it'll remind me there's 39 malachas, and I got to remember the 39 malachas. Or other things like that. On the next page.
Rabbi, by the way, what is really a baraisa then?
What's a?
Baraisa?
Baraisa?
Yeah,
baraisa is like a Mishnah that was written but was not included in what Rabbi Yehuda Nasi included. It was teachings of Tanoim that did not get included in the Mishnais. Final version of Mishnais.
So it's not really Torah Shebal Peh?
It is Torah Shebal Peh. It's absolutely Torah Shebal Peh. It was oral law.
So why is it included?
Because Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, one, it was very selective. He didn't want to make the Sefer way bigger than it has to be. He wanted to write as little as possible. So he had to be very selective
short form.
Pick the optimal amount of shortness that's there.
Because if you look at how much Gemara is used to explain each Mishnah,
okay. The next one on the next page, he says, V'yesh lo sivotam, text kasuv hu text kafu. What's that mean? A written text is like a static. What do you call it?
Static.
It's static. A static text. Once you write it, it's finished. Yeah. It doesn't move.
So
it doesn't
like
do anything. Right? Okay. And it only helps for that generation.
Yeah.
And the Gemara writes about, what's a good example? You learn from the Sechah Shabbos, you learn about cooking. So what are you about a Kira and a Tanur?
Yeah.
We don't have a Kira and a Tanur anymore. Mm. What's that going to help me? We have different kinds of stoves, are not at all like their kind of stoves.
True.
Right? So therefore, how does it become relevant? Only from the oral law, because then you get to the principles. And you get to the principles remain. And therefore, when the principles are discussed, then we continue, and now we work with those principles that are there. And finally, as we said, the Rambam adds, as we say, last bullet point, he says, text kasuv hu sibul machlokes. A written text is a reading for arguments. Mitzad echad hu nitan l'parsha rishos. It could be explained in different ways. And a second way, hu matzu b'dei, it's found in everybody's hands. Kol al anashim lo, even people who are not kosher. Okay? And therefore, you got people who say, oh, I got the text, or I can read it. You don't know what you're reading over there. And therefore, by not having it written, you avoid the machlokes. And who has the Torah Shebal Peh? Only the Torah elitists. When you have the elitists discussing it, they're going to learn it properly. And they'll come to agreement, and now they give it over and tell everybody, we've all discussed this, it's 39 malachas. And this is exactly how these malachas happen. And if you got a question, they'll answer your question over there. Okay? And the tzedukim who wanted to influence us with Greek, right? So they really weren't arguing on text, so to speak. And therefore that group eventually left because they really weren't part of the discussion of the issues because they didn't want to see the relevance of that. Okay. Now, tomorrow we'll get to right at the bottom of 317. So how come science got lost amongst the Jews?
But it's fascinating. He says all this, and yet he writes Yad Chazaka, which is sort of like taking the whole Gemara and putting it into simple...
Because halakha. He saw times were getting worse and worse.
Right.
He saw in Egypt nobody knew any halacha.
And he said, you don't need any of the books.
They found that Mishnayos was too hard for people. The written law was way too hard for everybody. The generations got even worse and worse and worse. So he says, let's forget about the Gemara, forget about the Mishnayos, that's way over their heads. Let's make simple bullet point halachas. And you see, Hashem said, good luck, Charlie. You're causing more machlokas with this Rambam than any sefer has ever written.
He did.
Okie doke.